Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the weekly Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson, and he, Ben Hobson.
Hello.
Each Tuesday, we'll be bringing you the latest news and views alongside an in-depth interview with an inspiring runner.
Coming up, we welcome back the incredible Scott Cunliffe, a Burnley FC fan who has run to every one of his team's away games this season. In the process, he has clocked up more than 3,000 miles and raised a truckload of money for charity.
Well, and I thought staying up late to watch Match of the Day was a sacrifice, Ben, but Scott has put me to shame and look forward to hearing more from him later on. In other completely unrelated news, Chris McDougall, author of the seminal Born to Run book,
yes,
is bringing out a new tome about running with a donkey called Sherman. So here's a top line. Okay. McDougall rescues Sherman, who's undernourished and is a horrendous heel striker.
Oh, Sherman.
And tries to give him a new purpose. Donkeys are working pack animals, reasons McDougall. They are, in short, born to run. So when the author learns about the sport of burrow racing or running with donkeys, he sets out to give Sherman something worth living for. Bravo, Chris McDougall, bravo. I cannot wait for that to drop in October.
This sounds like a Disney movie. This is going to be a franchise.
I thought you were going to say it's got legs there.
This is the next Disney franchise for sure. There's no way this is what's happening. It's going to be really good and I'm going to watch it.
I'm looking forward to it. So tell me then, Ben, if running with Sherman isn't for you,
right,
what is your favourite running book?
You've caught me out. Because I don't really have one.
Okay.
I like books about running and I like reading. I do enjoy reading them, and especially people's experiences, and you get like nice visions into other cultures around running and,
sure,
and all those sorts of things. But running is such a personal experience that reading about someone else's running experience, I kind of zone out. I'm kind of just a bit like, all right. What I talk about when I talk about running, I remember reading it and enjoying it. But I kind of enjoy the training books more.
Right. Give me a training manual.
Hansen's Method.
Okay, yeah.
That was one book that I read. I am so boring. That is the one book that I read when I went, yeah, this is going to help me running. Mm. So that's in my head, that's like, oh, that's a great running book.
Well, Ben, thanks so much. That's my very interesting co-host there, Ben Hobson, a fan of books, particularly practical books about running.
Good Lord.
We'd be interested to know what our listeners have to say. What's your favourite running read? Let us know at podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
I've heard that supporting a football team can be a very painful experience, so we must spare a thought for Scott Cunliffe, who decided to run to all of Burnley's away fixtures. With the season now complete, we thought it was a good time to catch up with Scott and hear about the highlights. Scott, I think the last time we spoke to you were on the Thames path. I don't think that's the case today.
No, I'm back in Burnley, feet on the ground.
Good to hear. Scott, I mean, I think just to recap, what possessed you to run all these away games and cover all these miles?
Well, it's Mental Health Week and Awareness Week, and I'd been through quite a lot of problems myself, and I think I just wanted to keep myself in the game and keep myself happy and healthy and get a little bit stronger in my running. And running in wild places is what had made me sort of been part of my therapy. Mm. So I just wanted to carry on doing that, but I wanted to mix it with a big fundraising drive and awareness drive as well. So that's where the challenge came from.
Was there any point, Scott, during this amazing kind of odyssey that you went on that you thought, oh, I've bitten off a bit more than I can chew here. I don't know if I'm going to do it.
I think when the fixtures came out, you know, before I set off running, I was like, oh dear, you know, running to Southampton was the first run from Burnley, and then the second one was to Fulham. And that's when reality hit, and I just had no idea how my body would react to these continuous days of, you know, doing 30 to 40 miles a day. And then, yeah, I guess the first run was really difficult physically because I was getting DOMS or, you know, really stiff as I got up in the morning and struggled to get out of bed. And but as I realised that that wasn't injury, that was just stiffness which you could kind of run through, I kind of felt, oh, I can do this, you know, I can still recover every day. And you eventually, you adapt to become a bit stronger throughout the months of doing it. And you're thinking, oh, it's not getting easier, but it's getting less painful physically.
Mm. What's been the reaction from football fans, Scott? Not just Burnley fans. Well, we've seen some great videos of Burnley and the team and supporting you, but just across the board to games that you went to, what was the reaction like?
Well, disbelief by a lot of people, runners. But I think it was good bridging the gap as well between running and football because, you know, it's running was the activity I was doing. A lot of football fans probably just couldn't relate to it at all. But I think I bridged the gap with a lot of people there, you know, and I've had quite a few people said, oh, you know, I'm going to go out for a run now. You've inspired me to go out for a run. And that's, you know, that's worth any more than anything, really. But yeah, just from opposition fans as well. I've always had good away day experiences. I've never been tainted by sort of aggression and the violence which is often comes up in the game. So I've always had positive experiences, and this just reinforced it. You know, I've always had you know, good chat and good banter with home fans or away fans, and yeah, this just reinforced that. So I've come out with a stronger conviction that, you know, football is probably more of a force for good than it is a force of evil.
You mentioned there, Scott, that you struggle with your mental health and you had sort of symptoms of PTSD before starting this. What's your mental health been like during the challenge? Do you feel in a better place now than when you started?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, my self-confidence has grown. I mean, it was always difficult for me asking for things. You know, I'm not really an entrepreneur, so I was always lacking in confidence in, you know, asking local businesses to pay for my hotels or asking sort of nutrition companies to send me some sort of free fuel. So I've really gained a lot from confidence through doing this and just linking in with so many new cool friends and people, you know, or people that I now consider friends. And the only thing I've had a dip in is that I've not really been able to overcome is my fear of running or walking over bridges. And I've had this phobia, and I don't really see it as a parallel to my post-traumatic or to my, you know, previous depression anymore. I just think that that's a phobia, and I really need to get some special treatment looking at just that phobia. And I've talked quite a bit about a psychologist about it, but that's something that's been constant. You know, there's like 50 meters out of every sort of 200 mile run that throws a spanner in the works. Is that how am I going to get over this motorway bridge? You know, and if people are with me, it's fine. And if they're not with me, I usually just sort of, it's more flight, and I find a way under the motorway.
Yeah, I remember doing that with you because I joined you for a bit of your journey to Brighton, which must be one of the longest legs from Burnley. But we went under the M25. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was so relieved that it was an underpass rather than a bridge. But in reality, because I was with you that day, and I was with quite a few other guys that was running with us, I'd have just grabbed hold of your shirt, and I'd have been fine. Because the feeling of weightlessness that comes on with this phobia, I just feel like I'm just going to fly over the bridge or fly off the bridge. And I used to think that was related to, say, suicidal sort of tendencies, but I don't think it is anymore. I think it's quite disconnected from that. But that feeling is still there. I feel like I'm trying to be grounded and keep my feet as solid on the ground as possible, which is not an ideal running style, but that's what I've kind of got to do if I run over a bridge and ground my feet into the concrete, you know, as opposed to trying or flying off. So, yeah, it's a very strange sensation. But I'm glad that I've finally seeing that as a disconnect, and it's nothing to do with the depression, I don't think.
So, Scott, you finished the challenge, you know, for a few weeks ago now. What have you been doing? Well, how have you filled your time that you were filling with running?
I've joined a running club in Burnley, Clayton Harriers. So I'm looking forward to running with more people now. I'm doing the marathon this weekend, so I've just been carried on running, really. But which is, you just do what you love, you know, and that's kind of what I thought. I've not done as much mileage in the last few weeks as what I've done in the previous weeks, but just enjoyed getting outdoors and sort of refreshing my mind by running in the local trails. And so, yeah, running will be a constant, but I think we just hit 50 grand on the fundraising, and I'm just really focused on making sure the impact of that money raised is going to be massive. So taking on the responsibility to work with the charity that I'm partnering with to make sure that we do change people's lives as much as possible with the money that's been raised.
So having completed this amazing challenge, Scott, then what advice would you give to other runners who might be thinking about taking part in an epic race?
It's all planning, I think. Yeah, it's planning and just believing in yourself that you can do it. I think I went to a few talks and, you know, read a few books on people doing similar challenges, and it wasn't all sort of like pro athletes doing FKTs. It was like just ordinary people, like getting out of the office, and there's a woman, Elise, who ran around the path of Britain, you know, the coastal path.
Mm.
And Peter Thompson, who ran the Tour de France, who was a pretty good runner actually, but just ordinary people. They weren't pros, but they planned it, and they had a good idea, they had a good concept, and just dedicating yourself to it. Financially is the question that I get asked most, you know, how do you make a living doing this? And pretty much I've been underemployed, and I've sacrificed, you know, a year's sort of wages by doing this. So that's the biggest thing you need to get your head around and probably save up for doing something like this, as opposed to sort of, you know, paying for it yourself, you know, like it's... So plan it, try to get some sponsors. That's very difficult to get sponsors if you're not known, or if you're not, you know, you don't have a massive social media following or anything like that. So, yeah, it's once I've nailed it to the board publicly and got it out there, there's no turning back, is there, really?
Mm.
I mean, unless I'd got seriously injured.
Yeah.
But that's a science in itself, I think. It's an art and a science in itself, you know, of really learning to slow down and not push, you know, just to get a bit faster on the day because you know you've got to go again tomorrow. So I was always putting my brakes on,
yeah,
thinking, you don't need to. I had one objective, get to the game on time. So my objective wasn't to get the fastest time for or the most distance for the week on Strava or
yeah,
beat someone else. It wasn't that. And there's, you know, to be honest, like there's always a bit of that in you, you know, because you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to post a really slow time on Strava today. You know, it's the slowest I've ever done for a marathon. You know, it's like 6.5 hours sometimes for doing a marathon, so once you put your ego aside and you think, no, I have one objective, which was to get to the game on time, and I always felt comfortable that I could do that.
Was it ever close though, Scott? Did you ever run it? Like, were you ever like, you know, just get into your seat when kickoff started?
Yeah, pretty much Newcastle. I had a sort of an amazing first two days running to Newcastle over the Pennine Way, and it was glorious weather, best 2 days in February on record. The wind was blowing from south to north. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And I got off the Pennine Way about 10 o'clock in the evening, went into my B&B on a Monday night. And they're like, we're not serving food anymore. It's a small town. So basically, I had like 3 pints of Guinness and 2 packets of salt and vinegar crisps. And so I didn't refuel. I just thought, that's got more nutrients in it. There was nothing else available. I was completely out. So I didn't really have anything else till the next morning at breakfast. And pretty much my energy was down all day. And it was just the hardest, you know, draining run that I've done running into Newcastle, which I thought was pretty much downhill from the Pennine Way to Newcastle. I've never been to Newcastle in my life before. So it was just up and down all day. And I got there, I got in my seat 10 minutes before kickoff, and I arrived, I think, at St. James's 40 minutes before the end.
Right.
And I was like running down the road. There was a few people ran with me for the last 10, 15K. And I was looking at them, I was like, you're walking. And I was like running, and I was thinking, I'm going as fast as I can. They were just walking. They couldn't run, you know, they had to walk with me, and I was like, oh, how bad is this? And they pretty much then had to drag me over the bridge. basically I was just linking arms and grabbing hold of people as I went for that last K. So that was pretty epic, I think. And I knew my energy is going to be down today because I haven't had a proper meal. It's just textbook error, you know. But there's nothing I could do about it.
You still got there, though, Scott. That's the important thing. You still made it there. So fair play.
Get to the game on time was still the motto, you know, and that's all I allowed my ego to get into. That was it.
So what about next season, Scott? Are you going to do it again, or are you going to do something completely different?
Well, there's people asking me that quite a lot, and quite a few Burnley fans. We'll wait till the fixtures come out. I'll probably do one or two. There's obviously new clubs that have been promoted into the Premier League, so we'll probably wait to see. Maybe do one early on, and then the weather's pretty good, and one in April. But it's more about other people getting out and doing that now. I've had some really good messages of, I had a 15-year-old Burnley fan saying, you know, when I'm old enough, I'm gonna do it as well, you know. So I mean, that's priceless, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's just too big a financial commitment for me to kind of go off and do it again next year. I need to get a job and work and just get back to normal and you know, focus on the local amateur running scene for now and be happy doing that. But I've got my eye on a few other big runs, but that'll be a couple of years down the line.
I heard murmurings, Scott, and you can tell me this is wrong if you want, but that you might be looking at the World Cup in Qatar.
True, yeah. I think the football running combination is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've never been to a World Cup final, and it's probably one of the oddest ones to choose, but it is the next one. But there's a lot of stars that have got aligned for that to happen. I think England have got to qualify one, which I'm very hopeful of. Two, it's got to happen in Qatar still, and it's got to happen probably in November. And then, you know, then we've got security and risk assessments and things like that to do. So, that's. But I had 3 months to plan this last one that I did, to run away. So I've got 3 years to plan that one. So hopefully I'll be a bit more organised by that time.
Scott, just in case anyone wants to catch up with the challenge, where can people find out more on the Runaway Challenge?
The Just Giving page is going to be open till the end of May. So the Runaway Challenge, justgiving.com, the Runaway Challenge. They can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SEKOTT, at Scott. I'll be on there, and hopefully I'll be sort of out there and doing some other sort of encouraging other people to do like-minded things. I've talked to a few other people that have done similar things to me, who've inspired me, and been lucky enough to meet them. And hopefully, if anyone's thinking of doing anything, please just get in touch, and I can drop you all the kind of hints. And I'll be trying to write something in the next few weeks and get some blogs out and some more details of the geeky stuff. Kit and sort of mileage and nutrition and all those sort of things.
Well, we'll look out for that, Scott. Thanks again for coming on the Runners World podcast, and congratulations on achieving an absolutely amazing challenge this season.
Thank you guys.
Cheers Scott.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
This is the Runners World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Ben, I'm no Michelin-starred chef, but there is one culinary area in which I believe I have something to offer.
Okay.
The DIY running gel.
Oh, God.
So a lot of runners struggle with stomach issues during races and are looking for more natural fueling alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Through months of trial and error, I think I've created the perfect solution.
Okay.
So here we go. Here's the ingredients. You will need 2 bananas, 3 tablespoons of honey, a small handful of raisins, a teaspoon of chia seeds, and 1/2 cup of water. You blitz the ingredients in a blender and you pour it into, I pour it into a goo self-serve flask. That's basically a soft flask with like a twisty nozzle on the end.
Yeah, you can get the same thing for if you, in like kiddie sections in supermarkets, they have where you make baby pouches. You can have make your blended up food for the babies and put them in pouches.
So get one of those, put it all together. It looks horrendous. It's like kind of deep brown colour.
Yeah.
But it tastes really good, and importantly, I think it really works, and I haven't had any stomach issues since using this gel.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nice bit of real hardcore service journalism there for you. From Rick, famous for his culinary skills.
Thank you. You're very, very welcome. You're very, very welcome.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
I think it's time for a delicious slice of running news cake. So here's Kerry McCarthy to feed us. How's that?
That's really brilliant. Kerry, welcome.
Thanks.
Good.
I know you shouldn't be on a podcast, but I'm stunned into silence by that introduction. Can we have that one every week?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Or a different one.
Huh?
I'll work out a different one.
Yeah, it could be
one.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Sort of George Dawes kind of.
Great.
What are you going to get?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But let's go with that one this week.
Good.
What shall I start with? I've got 3 things to talk about. Let's talk about what I've been using in terms of gear. I've been using a device called a Theragun.
Yes.
Which I think
dangerous.
You two are familiar with.
Yep.
Ben, I think you've used it in the past.
Yeah.
It's a percussive therapy device, which is a fancy way of saying it's a self-massage tool. And I know many of you out there will think, yeah, I've got loads of those. I've got foam rollers. How's this different? Well, imagine kind of like a power tool, an electric drill, but except instead of a drill bit, you've got a massage device on the end and you switch it on and it kind of vibrates.
It's a pneumatic hammer.
Yeah, it's a pneumatic hammer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you run it over your body, over any tender bits, and it's excruciating, but it does the job. It has different kind of settings on it, so you can get sort of, you know, not to get too dodgy about it, but softer or harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it so far.
Yeah.
You can use it if you've got an injury or if you just to kind of wake yourself up or wake your body up, you know, in the morning. If you have like a morning stretching routine and stuff like that, as a warm-up routine before you go out. They are expensive. There are 3 of them currently. The entry-level one is £250, which is a not particularly entry-level price, I accept. The middling version is £375. And the high-spec one is £549. And the difference between the 3 of them, essentially, is how many different types of kind of accessories for the end, because they come in different shapes and sizes depending on which parts of your body you want to give therapy to.
Yeah. There's a large dome one for, like, general, and then it gets all the way down to, like, a kind of, like, a needle point foam bit if you want to, like, target a very specific point. And then there's, like, a one with a flat edge, which is especially good on the ITB, because it kind of like a almost like a, you feel a bit like a sort of physical therapy builder. But it is really good. I mean, you'll probably know more about like the actual science behind the percussion side, right? Like I don't know if there's like the shockwave thing is to stimulate and to help repair, or if
it is, as far as I understand it, it's essentially trigger point release.
Yeah.
You know, which is, if you've ever had a sports massage, that's the painful bit where the masseuse sticks their thumb or their elbow or whatever it is onto you and your leg starts vibrating. And then suddenly the knot of muscle kind of dissipates and it goes away. It's like that. It's kind of, it's partly loosening the fascia, which is the kind of like the white tissue around the outside of your muscles. And it's partly, obviously, just kind of like softening the muscles as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of them. You know, they're not going to be affordable for everybody, but I think you get lots of this kind of innovation. A lot of them don't do the job or promise much and deliver little. I would say this is the opposite of that, so it's worth checking out.
Yeah, fair play.
Moving on. I mentioned this in the awareness that many runners will have seen this already, but I have to mention it for those who haven't. Last week, there was a college track event in the States, and there was a 400-meter hurdle race.
Yep.
The two guys coming down the home straight were Texas University teammates. They went over the last hurdle. They were neck and neck. It was absolutely thrilling. They're called Robert Grant and the spectacularly named Infinite Tucker.
Yes.
They got to, you know, the bit just before the line where it has the numbers on it, and Infinite Tucker's legs started to go. He just wasn't going to be able to do the last two steps. So he launched himself into a full-length Superman dive, arms out in front and everything, to get across the line first, because, as you no doubt know, it's your chest crossing the line first, not your head, that counts when you dip for the line. It's absolutely spectacular. If you haven't seen it, Google Infinite Tucker Superman Dive. It's all over the internet. And apart from making good watching, I just think it's a kind of further affirmation of leaving everything out there. Everyone thought this guy was finished, and he did something unusual, and he got the victory.
It's worming its way in, isn't it? Because this is a sort of the natural end point of, we've seen people kind of diving for the line.
He launched himself.
But this is a new level.
Yeah,
isn't
this
it?
Is not like a stumble and then fall over. I mean, there was definite grazing going on there.
Oh my God, the impact and the track surfaces they're not pleased to roll around.
No. I mean, if I was pseudo-Creme, I would be approaching him about some kind of sponsorship deal afterwards.
Yeah.
But it worked, didn't it? It did work. You know, it's actually effective. It's not just a sort of like showboating, is it? You know.
Yeah, I mean, hilariously, afterwards he claimed he was just delighted to finish first and second with his teammate, and it didn't matter which of them won. Right. I would contend if that were the case, he wouldn't have died full length of the line.
Yeah.
But yeah, well done, Infinite. And finally, this week, we definitely need to flag up the extraordinary latest exploits of friend of the magazine, Nikki Spinks. We featured her across several of our platforms in different ways in the last couple of years. If you don't know who she is, she's a 51-year-old Cumbrian farmer, a cancer survivor, a bit of a fell-running rock star, I would say.
Yeah.
She is an absolute inspiration to everyone. And this weekend, she did something called a double Paddy Buckley. There are three big fell races, which are kind of regarded as almost like the grand slams of fell running. It's sort of classic mountain challenges. Mm. There's the Bob Graham round in England in the Lake District. There's the Charlie Ramsay round in Scotland. And the Paddy Buckley round is the Welsh version of it. And the aim with the three of them is to try and do each one in under 24 hours, which is tremendously difficult. The Paddy Buckley one, which Nikki did this weekend, is regarded as the most technical, I think. It's not the longest, but it is the most arduous, because you've the navigation and the kind of the technical nature of the terrain makes it extra hard. She was obviously aiming to do the double, which meant she had 48 hours to try and complete it. Completing it means 122 miles, 94 peaks and 56,000 feet. If you work in metric, that's 18,000 metres. So imagine climbing 18 kilometres. In that time. It's extraordinary. She didn't quite do the 48 hours. She did 57 hours and 27 minutes. But the fact that she was just on her feet for that long, up in the mountains, doing the do, it's just incredible. There's just no end to this woman's...
That's amazing.
Tungsten kind of mental strength and physical strength as well.
It's incredible. And that's now doubles, isn't it, of the Bob Graham, the Paddy Buckley and the Ramsay. So she's done doubles of all.
Yeah, makes her the only person to do doubles all three, right?
Yeah, only person, yeah. So
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It is phenomenal, isn't it? It really puts your
use of that
run
word
into perspective.
Correct. No, it's very, really, it's amazing. Amazing. So congratulations to Nikki. That's phenomenal.
And actually, I believe afterwards she was offered some champagne and she wasn't too impressed by that offer. She wasn't sure if she wanted it. And while we might not be able to kind of connect to her on the basis of, I could go and run up a mountain twice, apparently she refuels on fry-ups and pot noodles, and I think that's probably something we can all get down with.
Yeah, absolutely. Big fish and chips fan, I think, as well.
Yep.
Kerry, that is absolutely great. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I'd like to say a huge thanks to our guest, Scott Cunliffe, and to Number 8 Studios in Soho, where this was recorded.
For more news, reviews, interviews and much, much more and everything to do with the world of running, please head over to runnersworld.com/UK. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our hosts, Acast. And please like and subscribe in iTunes. Thanks so much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.